This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843. All right, welcome back. Thank you out there for hanging in there. Appreciate you. Get a little rest here in between the hours. We don't really have a lot of breaks here, so appreciate all of you out there as always hanging in and helping us out. Derek Sibley says, oh, my girlfriend wants to know your opinion on how the Eagles are going to do this year. She thinks Hurts will be better than Tua. What do you think? Do I have to be honest? I'm a huge Jalen Hurts fan as a human being, okay? He is impossible to not root for because you know he's a good kid, right? Heck of a college football player. I don't believe in him as a passer at the NFL level. I just don't. I think he's a guy that's going to have his limitations. I think his accuracy is an issue. Maybe he can work on it. It's impressive that he can squat 600 pounds. I mean, listen, again, I hope I'm wrong, okay, because I can't root against the kid, but I got to be honest, I don't buy him as a passer. And so I get it. She, you know, your girlfriend thinking Jalen Hurts will be better than Tua.
Blind ass fan alert. Look out, everyone. We've got a blind ass fan coming through.
So we had to give your girlfriend a little BAF there, a blind-ass fan alert there, but nice kid. I just don't buy him as a starter when it's all said and done. I don't know what the Eagles were smoking when they did this. I don't know what they were seeing. Maybe I'm wrong, man. But, hey, listen, Josh Allen, I didn't buy him either, and after the first year, I thought I was convinced because the guy was an absolute disaster. And then he found his way in years two and three and has become one hell of a player and kind of proven a lot of us wrong, including yours truly. He's the first guy in my 50 years of living, but specifically my 31 years of doing this. And I've always said that the guy that's inaccurate will always be inaccurate, will always cost you when it's all said and done. And that's always been the case. He's the one guy that broke that mold. And again, a lot of us don't watch Wyoming football, so maybe he had a really crappy team around him. Maybe the kid was so raw at that point that this is who he was. It was just he was so green in those moments. And Brian Daboll has, you know, developed one hell of a player in Josh Allen. Maybe, just maybe, this kid will do the same thing and prove me wrong. We'll see. But I'm going to go with, yeah, no, I'm not a Jalen Hurts believer. They play UNC coming off a bye again this year. Yeah, but that's not a good thing either. Derek says, great show, by the way. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate you. Antonio says, I'm a diehard Hurricanes fan, Big O. They have no shot to beat Alabama, honestly. Hope it's not a blowout. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, too. I'm expecting an ass-kicking, but I'm praying for them to at least give them a competitive game. That would be cool, actually. You know, that to me is the only, like, little hope that I have in this game is that they give them a competitive game. I don't expect them to win. I just think that that's so unrealistic. Bama's too strong for Miami, and I'm a Canes fan since 87. Boy, you got on the right time. Manuel Malo says anything under two scores should be considered a win by Miami. Can anybody argue with Manuel on that one? Yeah, he's right. They lose by 10 or 12. You're like, hey man, that wasn't too bad. Hank Goldberg's left nut says if they beat the spread, it's a win. Oh, if they beat the spread, it'd be awesome, dude. Yeah, you're right. Rosendo says, love it when the Canes are the underdogs. No one gave the Canes a chance against Nebraska in 83, and we still won. Yeah. Yeah. Is Howard Schnellenberger on the sidelines there? I'm sorry. I must have missed that. Wait a minute. Do I see Bernie Kosar back there or something? No, I don't. No, right. No.
You know, we can't reach into the past on this, man. None of these teams can ever be compared to the past. None of these teams, we mention any of these UM teams and we compare them to 83 or 85 or 87 or 89 or 91 or whatever. It's an insult to those teams. Okay? It's an absolute insult to those teams. Those are real, like, champion Canes teams, man. Those are the kind of teams that we envy, we dream of, we reminisce, we respect, we idolize. None of these teams the last 20 years are idolized at all. At all. Since 01 or 02, because obviously the 02 team was pretty damn good too. They just stole the championship from the University of Miami with those terrible calls against Ohio State. But since those teams, these teams deserve to be in the same sentences with any of the great Canes teams. It's not even close, dude. Love it. Let's see. Big O, with the AFC being so tough in a 17-game season, is it going to take 11 wins to make the playoffs? That's a lot to ask for a team unless Tua balls out. Well, Hank Goldberg's left nut. I expect Tua to ball out, bro. I do, man. I'm sorry. But you know what? Here you go.
Blind ass fan alert. Look out, everyone. We've got a blind ass fan coming through.
Call me a blind ass fan, bro. I love Tua this year. I think he's going to ball out. I think he's healthy. I think the offense is designed perfectly for him now. I think he's got the weapons. He's got the quick twitch guys. I think the offensive line should be better with some experience this year. The running backs are coming back with some experience this year. The receiving core is the deepest receiving core they've had in a long, long time. The defense played really well last year. They should be pretty damn good again this year. I think Tua has it all to have one hell of a year for the Miami Dolphins. I think he's going to play really, really well. You know, but again, maybe I deserve the blind ass fan alert. I'm no better than any of you guys, okay? I could be just as wrong as you guys. I can be just as right as you guys about this kind of stuff. I'm not some kind of psychic or anything, but I just have a feeling that everything is now set up for him to succeed, whereas last year, everything was set up for him to fail. Let me tell you, as I've said before, it wasn't only set up for him to fail. Last year was set up for him to fail and get injured again. Okay? How do you like that one? Fail and get injured again. And neither one happened. He did pretty damn good, and he didn't get injured. This year, I'm expecting a much better Tua, man. Can I get one O just because O? All right, you got it, bro.
Blind ass fan alert. Look out, everyone. We've got a blind ass fan coming through.
There you go. There you go. There you go. You got it, bro. Came through for you there, upper echelon. Willie Molina says, can we compartmentalize an upset? You love that word, bro. Daniel Marquez says, beat Bama. Akaris 1 says, blind ass fan alert. Let's see. Willie Molina, watch Saban get upset would be nice. Also for quitting, too. Well, actually, the best part about Saban getting upset is just throwing his headsets and he's pissed and he's screaming at the sidelines and screaming at his offensive coordinator and screaming at his defensive backs coach. And well, he is the defensive backs coach. Anyway, so screaming at everybody, screaming at the kids, screaming at the AD, right? Screaming at the guy that's, you know, dragging around the cable everywhere he goes. Screaming at the guy that's picking up the headset in like 8 pieces. All of those kind of things. Nothing is better than getting Saban pissed off. I mean, that really would be absolutely sweet if you can piss him off, dude. I love that. That's fantastic. That would be perfect, actually. All right. Remember, you can reach out to us on the YouTube channel. You can reach out to us on Yahoo, the email, which is bigoradioshow@yahoo.com. So if you have any questions, comments, complaints, whatever it is, send them in. You can also reach out on Twitter at Big O Show. If you got a question, comment, maybe you want to send us some news, like GP Trap sent us the Oki news on that. And of course, another great way to support our show is Cash App and Venmo. Please, right there at Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Ray is asking me, how is Bill doing? Bill is doing good. He's hanging in there. He's going to his therapy and trying to recover. He's got to wear like this thing on around his, you know, his waist to kind of support his back and all that. And that crash messed him up, bro. That crash messed him up. So he's got to recover. He's hanging in there. He's a tough dude. So hopefully everything will work out, and maybe down the line you'll see him sometime on the show here helping us out a little bit, which would be nice to get him back on the show to help us out. Remember, for those of you that are tuning in, tomorrow we will start at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, okay? We will start a half hour early. Every day will be 10 a.m. except on Wednesdays. Wednesdays I'll come in a little earlier. We'll start the show, and then we'll hand it off to Ira and Clay, all right? So Ira and Clay will then have that 1 hour. They will do Inside the Paint, and then we will then take over again at 11 o'clock after that, and we'll have guests, and we'll do whatever we normally do and all that good stuff. So tomorrow, debut of Inside the Paint with Ira Winderman and Clay Ferraro from Channel 10. So it should be a lot of fun as they get to address a lot of different subjects for the Heat. Free agency is about to start next week. Remember, next week, Ira Winderman starts with his two reports on Tuesdays and Fridays. So Tuesdays, you'll get Manny Navarro and Ira Winderman. Mondays, you'll get Omar Kelly. Next week, starting Wednesdays, my boy Kyle Krabs will be taking over, and you'll only hear him exclusively here. You won't hear him anywhere else anymore starting next week. Then Thursdays, it'll be Ira Winderman. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Thursdays are open right now for the moment. Got some stuff planned. And then Fridays, you'll get Omar, Ira, and Manny to lead you into the weekend. So you got your top guy for Heat Insight, Dolphin Insight, and Canes Insight. So you got all of that. So an enormous lineup starts next week. All right. You love the Teja, Big O. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like my long hair. I don't want to let it go. What can I tell you? Maybe not the right move for me since I'm in my 50s, but I don't care, bro. It doesn't matter to me whether I have short hair, long hair. I'm still the same person, and doesn't, you know, that's a good thing. It actually has never affected me having long hair. People, you know, they look at it, but they know who the hell I am. And so at least I don't get, now, if you don't know me, you probably judge me by the long hair, you know, but yeah, it's one of those, man. What can I tell you? I've always loved having long hair. Hate short hair. And let me tell you, living here is not actually a good thing to have the long hair, right? Because it's hot as a mother. Big O, I want you to know Tua is the anointed one. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He will be kicking ass for a long time to come. What else do we have here? Inter Miami, according to Michelle Kaufman, is finalizing a deal for a U.S. national team defender, Ventura Alvarado. Oh, here's the other thing. Remember, we talked about this yesterday. So the report was that Houston was taking calls on Watson, right? Did you guys see that there's 10 criminal complaints waiting to be filed? And then there are two other women that are separate from the case that Rusty Harden is running. So these are other cases that are also in the way for what's it called for Deshaun Watson. Monday, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio reported that the Texans star has yet to been informed if he'll be placed on paid leave as he faces 22 lawsuits. Well, Rusty Harden on Monday, Watson's attorney told John Barr of ESPN that 10 women have filed complaints with Houston police about Watson. Two of the women are not among those suing the signal caller, which suggests those allegations not known by the public until Monday. Houston police did not comment on the investigation at ESPN. Harden added that the NFL has not yet interviewed Watson about the allegations because the league is first waiting for the criminal investigation to conclude. Busby, who is representing the women suing Watson, offered a statement to ESPN. As of today, almost half of these women have given sworn statements to the police, and almost half have spoken to the NFL's investigative team. Both processes are very lengthy. We expect to provide further information to the NFL from all victims. Now, Deshaun Watson's camp has been floating the idea that the accusations are false and that the accusers are out for money. That's a harder case to make now that Watson's own lawyer says two of the women who reported him to the police are not suing him. Two of the women have filed complaints with the Houston Police Department against Deshaun Watson. According to the attorney, eight of those women are suing Watson, but two are not part of it. So now you've got this issue. So, and he doesn't want anything settled publicly. I mean, privately. He wants it all settled publicly. Also, and that's another hurdle that they're also, and that's if you're going after him because he's a criminal, I don't think you have a problem. Well, I shouldn't say that, because if it goes public, then you got to then answer questions to the media, and then they've got questions to answer you, to ask you, and then they're going to track you down and they're going to find you and all that kind of stuff. So I guess that's probably why they don't want to see the problem with sexual assault for a child, for a woman, and even for a man that it may happen, is that when there is a court case involved, you are now reliving everything all over again. And now you're reliving it in public. And so now the public finds out about how you were abused, molested, mistreated, whatever it was that happened to you in you know, when you were mixed up with that person. And then that becomes another level of embarrassment. It's not so much about, oh, I don't want my name out there because I'm money grabbing or something like, no, it's not really that. It could be that for some of them. I don't know. It could be that. I'm not telling you that, but I'm telling you for the victims themselves, the reason why they want to avoid the public, it's because they already feel embarrassed. They already feel violated. They already feel uncomfortable. If any of these were actual crimes where he really sexually assaulted somebody, then those people are also going to have a level of insecurity in being alone with anybody else for the rest of their lives. This is something that, if it is a crime, it damages the human being forever, pretty much. Okay, and to use a word that Willie loves, it's almost impossible for them to compartmentalize the crime and then passion with somebody that they may love. And it may be something that crosses over, and there may be a level of insecurity and lack of trust for the rest of their lives with any person that they try to be intimate with for the rest of their lives. That's the part that most of us don't take into equation, because most of us have never suffered this. So since we've never gone through it, we don't know what they go through. And so that's the trick about going public or not. And it's not so much about the gold digging part. It could be, but God forbid that crimes did happen out of these 22. Those people are living a nightmare, and they don't want to live the nightmare again in public. They got to live it privately. They see it in their dreams. They see it in their thoughts. They're haunted by it. It's tough, man. It's tough. That's why this is why I have zero sympathy for Deshaun Watson. How you can be this stupid and tie yourself and put yourself in this position is beyond me. It just is. You're an incredibly famous person, bro. Don't you understand? Every one of these strangers that you call, you are now, you're putting a bullseye on you. So, and again, it may not even be that. It may be some of these women may not have known who the hell he is. And then he just sexually assaulted them. And then they found out who he was after. And that happens because there are some people. Remember, we are freaks. Yeah. You know, the average sports fan isn't listening to sports radio. Right? The hardcore fan is the one that listens to sports radio. The incredibly hardcore fan is the one that's watching on YouTube. But there's a lot of people, most people that don't follow sports, they don't care. They don't even know any of these people. And then there's that casual fan that, you know, half-ass follows things. And how many of those women may have been that? It's a, you know, it's sad, man. It's a disturbing deal. It really is. All right, let's get ready because Manny Navarro is going to join us next.
Starting in August, longtime Miami Heat insider Ira Winderman joins the Big O Radio Show. Ira will give insight twice a week on your favorite NBA team. Heat fans, get the information you crave from one of the best in the business. From weekly appearances to breaking news, join Ira Winderman exclusively on the Big O Show. Found on most platforms.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
The viewpoints, statements, or beliefs expressed on the following program by the host, guests, or callers are not necessarily the opinions of FantasyXS.com, Media Group Inc., ownership, management, sponsors, or website. Time for Canes fans to get what they want. Information, insight, and perspective. It's the Caneswear Miami Hurricanes Report with Manny Navarro, exclusively on the Big O Radio Show. Here's Big O and insider Manny Navarro.
All righty, we are awaiting the man, the myth, the legend that is Manny Navarro. He is ready to join us. Let's bring him aboard. Let's talk a little Canes. Manny,
what's going on, how
are you, my friend? You doing all right?
Doing great, man. Great. Yourself?
Good, good, good. Let me ask you something because we were just talking about this. Do you find it humorous when people try to convince themselves on how they can win against Alabama in the first week of the season? Because I really give Miami zero chance of winning that game unless the new quarterback's going to come in and turn over the ball 47 times. I just don't expect it to happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, Alabama's not the same team they were last year. They obviously lost a lot of offensive weapons. So you can certainly question and say, hey, they're not going to be able to score and put up the same number of points they did last year with the great system that they had. They have new offensive coordinator, whole new kind of quarterback, as you mentioned. Receivers have some question marks, but in the end, it's still Alabama. It's still one of the best defenses in the country. They've got one of the best secondaries in the country. And so to me, very rarely does Vegas make mistakes. And the fact that it's an 18-point spread tells you how most people who know the game really, really think of this matchup. And so look, I think Miami can keep it close for a half, right? I don't think they're going to get blown out. I think this Miami team can score points. I think they're going to be better with Charleston Rambo and at receiver, having a more consistent deep threat. I think Mike Harley, you know, if he's the guy that we saw in the second half last year, I think those are two very good receivers. I think, you know, Will Mallory is going to be a good tight end. I like their running backs. I think the offensive line has a ton of experience, but this is still – the defending national champions and still a program that recruits five stars left and right, get all the best players in the country every single year. And so those guys usually just step into those roles when guys leave and they continue to keep the team at that level. So I think the fact that it's an opener helps Miami. Alabama's going to have to shake some of its initial rust off, as we said with Bryce Young. But yeah, I just think, you know, Alabama's a favorite for a reason, man.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So now the follow up is, if they don't challenge for the ACC title, I don't expect them to win it because they should, and Clemson is the better team. Should Manny be on the hot seat, considering he has 19 of 22 starters returning? He has an experienced team, North Carolina. I know they've got the better quarterback, but Sam Howell lost everything. He lost all his weapons. So they've got to also reload too. And are they at that point where they can reload? And I know that I saw where the Riders picked North Carolina to win. By the way, right. were you one of them that picked North Carolina to win?
I was. I picked Miami to finish second, and I had Virginia third in the ACC. Okay. That was my top three for the Coastal.
So then, well, then in your eyes, he shouldn't be on the hot seat because you don't think he should win the division or challenge for the ACC then?
I just think that from a talent standpoint, you know, Kelvin Harris, one of my favorite guys, former Hurricane who won three national championships. He and I argue all the time, dude, about the Canes, and he's a 58. These guys are 15-0. This is the most talented team. He thinks they're going to have like 12 to 14 NFL draft picks off this Hurricanes team. And I'm like, Kelvin, they could have 10 guys drafted off this Hurricanes team, but how many of them are going to be first rounders? How many of them are going to be second rounders, guys that are the best players at their position in college football? Look, go back and look at when Ohio State won the national championship, when Alabama wins the national championship, when LSU wins the national championship. They've got 5 and 6 first rounders, guys that are just the best at their position. Miami doesn't have that.
You mean like the 80s and 90s Canes?
Is right, right, right. But I'm just saying, even modern day, you know, yes, you can have a lot of guys drafted, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're ready to win a championship yet. And I think when I look at this team, you know, there's good players. I think Bubba Bolden will probably be one of the best safeties in the country this year.
By the way, Al Golden had a shitload of guys drafted.
Right, he did too, and they won 7-8 games. So I just think, look, in the end, this team could win up to 10 games, in my opinion. I think they could go to a bowl game and win if a lot of these guys decide to play in the bowl game. Let's not forget that, right? How things shake out. You could end up with just 10 wins because you can't get enough guys to play in the bowl game that matter. Either way, I look at this as a team that you're asking them to win on the road at North Carolina against a Mack Brown coach team that just completely obliterated you. I know the personnel is different. They lost guys to the NFL, two receivers and two running backs. But they've got a good offensive line. They've got some good players at the skill position still at receiver, I think, that are good players. And I think playing that game at home gives them an advantage. I see that very, very even. You know, De'Aaron King, Sam Howell, it's kind of a wash, in my opinion, in terms of, you know, great players making great plays in the game at that position. It's going to come down to defense. And to me, Carolina has a better defense. They shut down Miami last year, held them to 24 points. Miami gave up 62 points to them. And, you know, I think they've got the better team right now, and playing at home gives them an advantage.
Jalar Haley, tell us, is it just he's not going to play much, so he's out of here?
I think it just comes down to playing time for a lot of these guys, and it's going to happen in college football. Oh, I mean, everybody's going to look at the roster situation and, you know, they're just going to say, I'm going to move on to better things. And I think in Miami's case, you know, they're deep at the defensive tackle position. They've got some good players. They just picked up Leonard Taylor. We've talked about this dude quite a bit. He's a 5-star guy. If you're a guy like Jalar Haley, who still isn't going to play this year because you've got Nestor Silvera and John Ford and two other guys in front of you, it's time to hit the road, Jack, right? It's time to go look elsewhere. And I think there might be a couple of other guys, you know, names that I've heard over the last week of guys that could be out of here for different reasons. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I kind of wait for those guys to announce it themselves, because even if I hear something, it's always like, well, you never know. Maybe he changes his mind. Maybe the coaches talk him into staying. So I think when those guys are ready to announce they're leaving, we'll hear about it. But it's none of put it this way. It's none of the guys who are going to play a whole lot. And Jalar Haley, you know, what was he known for? Dancing on the sidelines. Sadly, that's kind of what his reputation was, right? Being the guy who during was dancing on the sidelines. Yeah, during a loss. So I just think, look, Manny Diaz wants to win a championship. He wants this program to improve, and he's still working on improving that roster.
All right. And Julian Armea and Malik Agbo, tell me a little bit more recruiting-wise about those guys.
Yeah, those are their two highest prospects at the offensive tackle position, the two guys that they really, really want. Agbo's a kid out of Washington, came across the states to visit Miami. I think he's got a good relationship with Jake Garcia, who potentially is going to be his starting quarterback if he picks Miami. And I think that's what they're trying to work. Armella's a kid. His father played at Florida State. He was at Miami Columbus last year, transferred back to St. Thomas Aquinas. He's a national kid with the best offensive tackle in the state, most likely. And I just think, he's got a lot of great programs after him, and we'll have to see where Miami fits into it and how much his mom wants him to stay home. I think if mom really urges him to stay home, then he'll stay here and play for the Hurricanes. But, those are their two top guys on the offensive line. They did pick up Justin Medlock, the linebacker that I told you about last Friday when I came on the show. He ended up committing right after we talked, maybe an hour afterward. So they've got six guys now in their class. I talked to Manny Diaz about the recruiting class, and I know Miami fans are freaking out. They've only got six commitments. They're ranked 61st, yada, yada, yada.
Too early.
Again, I'm going to say this again. Manny basically said, look, all the guys that we really want aren't deciding till late, So they're going to be deciding in December, announcing on TV and, all those kind of things. They're in play for big guys. And even if Miami doesn't get some of those dudes, Manny's not worried. He feels like the transfer portal is going to open up a lot of possibilities. And in a lot of ways, these coaches are looking at it like, look, I could take on a high school kid like Jalar Holly, spend 2 years developing, and he doesn't work out. Meanwhile, I can also look at the transfer portal, like Miami's successfully done here quite a bit, and land a guy at a position that I need. And so it's all about keeping a few scholarships for that transfer portal. And I think, Miami feels comfortable with the last two recruiting classes. They've got, the guys in the last two classes are good. They're top 15 type classes. And there's a lot of good players in them. And so that's the future. And Manny's just going to continue to recruit the guys he thinks he can get and the guys that can make a difference.
All right. So our boy Andrew Ivins called James Williams a unicorn of a prospect.
Yeah.
You agree? How good is this guy? How excited should we be? Because I don't like getting excited about high schoolers until I see him actually on the field today. But is this kid... Well, is this one of those
generational type talents?
Yeah, like Taylor from
Sean Taylor, yeah.
Sean Taylor. Like once we got him from what is it? Not Lures.
Gulliver Prep.
He was Gulliver, in Gulliver Prep. Yeah. Once we got him from Gulliver, it was like, no, dude, forget that Gulliver crap. This guy's a monster. This and that, and he ended up becoming the monster that everybody said he is. And rest in peace, Sean Taylor. Is that what we're talking about? Is this the kind of guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got that kind of talent. I mean, first of all, he's 6'5", 220 pounds already. I mean, how many high school kids come in, from high school like that, built like an Adonis?
He's built like a skinny defensive end is what he's built like right now.
Right, and I think that's where most of us who know the game say that's probably where he's better served, right? Moving to defensive end and being a Javon Kearse-like talent. That's what a lot of guys that I talk to in the business that do scouting and all kinds of work for different colleges, they've told me in the past, this is a guy that in reality, if you took him and you turn him into a defensive end, he'd probably be the number one overall pick. But he wants to play safety. He thinks he can play safety at this level. I think ultimately Miami moves him to like linebacker, to striker, to one of those spots where he's in the box and he's able to rush the quarterback from up close and also, do a good job as a run defender coming up and making tackles. He's the comparison I've gotten most for him is Isaiah Simmons, the kid from Clemson from a couple of years ago,
who was
the defensive player of the year. And, Simmons was a first round pick of the Cardinals. I think he was in the top 10 overall. James is that kind of a player. Sean Taylor, to me, you talk about special talents. Those are guys that are just on another planet because those are generational talents. I think James Williams is definitely a first round pick. He definitely has that in his future, that kind of talent. But Sean Taylor, we'll see. Will he have that kind of impact? Will he make those kind of plays in the game constantly that Sean Taylor made when he was playing? I don't know. But I think he's definitely a five-star prospect, definitely a guy you got to keep an eye on. And I think him and Leonard Taylor, those are the two guys on defense. You talk about recruiting and improving the program. Those two dudes take the program to another level.
So, Manny, when you go to Vegas, you go to gamble, right?
Yeah.
You go to gamble, right?
Yeah.
You know where I'm going. So you go to Vegas to gamble. UNLV, man, they love to roll the dice. They got Tate Martell, bro. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Come up,
hey, guys, did they watch this guy, by the way? Because that's the other thing that we are complete idiots, okay? Because when he transfers from Ohio State, all the hype, none of us actually really took the time to watch his ass because
That guy can't pass, bro. I don't know what the hell it is, but he's got more lives than anyone I've ever seen, and he can't play the position. So I'm just wondering, what the hell is UNLV doing, man?
Well, before we get to UNLV, what the hell was Urban Meyer thinking, right, when he recruited him to Ohio State? What was Miami thinking? What film were they studying? Again, I think the Tate Martell story is more an indictment of how lazy people are when it comes to scouting and really doing their homework on players in college football versus, you know, what it used to be when Jimmy Johnson and his staff would go out and really talk to guys, break things down. I think there's a lot of corners being cut nowadays, which is why you see so many quote unquote busts. You know, some recruit Nicks out in the Vegas area, you know, especially the fact that Tate had his own little TV show, right? He was on that Netflix special. They all fell in love. They all fell in love with the gimmick. And the reality is the first day he was out of practice throwing the football, you know, me and a couple of the other beat reporters were looking around like, this is the dude? Like, this is the guy everybody's going crazy over? Look, I think he's fine in like a wildcat offense. Like, you could have him run the football. He's
Urban, in a way, he does love his running quarterback, so I can almost see that. But in this team, it's always been about passing, and, bro, that guy can't pass.
No, and the only offense he was effective in, and it was for one drive that I saw him, was in a spring game when he first got here up in Orlando when Miami had their spring game up there that year. And he came out, and it was, mind you, this was the scout team defense. But he came out in the shotgun and just threw the ball really quickly. You know, took the snap, made quick decisions, got the ball. He was effective in that. But that, it's like a gimmick. It was like one drive. It was one moment where you're like, okay, I can see a little bit of his talent. But overall, you put that guy against a first-team defense, somebody who's throwing, you know, complicated coverage schemes at them, moving guys around at the line of scrimmage, he didn't know what to do with the football. And so I think just a lot of people missed, and now, you know, he ends up at UNLV, where I exactly thought he would be all along. That would be the place, go back home and try to get on the field. I hope for his sake, you know, Tate gets an opportunity. Look, he went through a lot of off-the-field issues here at Miami. He had a girlfriend that he was a model, one of these, you know, Instagram chicks that he was going out with that was driving him insane. He was in love with her and you know, wasn't even around the team a couple times when Miami expected him to be there. So it was, you know, it was all kind of issues behind the scenes. Now he's back home. Hopefully his parents can help him out, straighten him out, and hopefully Tate can make something of himself, man, and get a college degree.
Or if not, you know, hit the lottery or go become a blackjack dealer or something, bro. You know,
right.
I saw that story and I was like, really? Did you guys watch him play at all or something?
Well, he's a hero back home because he won 3 state championships with his high school team. And so he's beloved back home for all those reasons. But people forget he played with Brevin Jordan and Bubba Bolden and a bunch of other guys who were good players that are NFL type talents that made him look good. And, you know, again, my biggest thing, and I was talking about this with some of the college football writers at The Athletic, how did so many people miss? Like, where was the evaluations? Who was really doing their homework here? And why did so many schools think that this guy was good? Maybe there's just, you know, maybe they saw something there that the rest of us didn't. But I can tell you, the first time I saw him throw a football and I saw it wobbling and I saw him struggling to just get the ball off, I'm thinking to myself, dude, this guy is nothing compared to what everybody's built him up to be.
It reminds me of Josh Heupel. It reminds me, I mean, I'm out at Dolphins camp and we're looking around going, this is their draft pick? And then they actually ended up with a bunch of injuries. Heupel was the only arm they had left in camp. And Spielman comes out of the GM office, puts on some shorts and starts throwing the ball around. And Spielman had a better arm than Heupel. And we were like, wait a minute, dude, how does the guy that drafted him have a better arm than the damn quarterback? And it's like, what the F, bro?
Yeah. You know?
I'm glad he turned out to be a heck of a coach because, holy crap, that was another guy that was like, did you scout this guy? You know, whatever. But it's just, I get you were in Oklahoma, right? You're Heupel, you're at Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's loaded with talent. It's what you're talking about. And so that's probably what it is. He had so much talent around him, it kind of hid his deficiencies when it's all said and done. But when he got to the Dolphins, I was like, this guy has no arm, bro. How can he be an NFL quarterback? And sure enough, obviously, he didn't make it in the NFL. All right, so what are you working on for The Athletic so folks can check you out, my man?
Well, I just put out a story last week when I was in Charlotte. I kind of did the rounds, you know, with all the different teams in the conference, including Clemson, to get their opinions on, you know, what they really think of the Hurricanes. You know, we down here kind of live in a vacuum, right? We see this team every single day. We report on it every single day. What do these guys who play against them honestly think? And so, obviously, as we started off this conversation, you know, they got picked to finish second. I picked them to finish second. But even the Clemson players are kind of like, yeah, look, we played them last year. They're okay. They're talented. But North Carolina is a team we're expecting to see in Charlotte. So that's kind of an honest take from some of their players. I talked to some players from Pittsburgh, NC State, and Louisville, who all played Miami last year. NC State, of course, plays them again. So does Pittsburgh, because they're in the same division. But I got their opinions on who they think is good for Miami. A lot of love for Nesta Silvera, I'll tell you that. They think he's you know, a talent, a guy to be reckoned with. A couple of the offensive linemen I talked to, and Bubba Bolden is viewed as the best guy that they've got in the secondary. Things that we know, but it's just interesting to hear what the guys who play against them thought, you know. And I'll tell you one thing: one impression I came away with was De'Aaron King in the eyes of the rest of the conference is really what's keeping Miami in that hunt to be the number two team in the Coastal Division. I don't know if there's a ton of respect for a lot of the other guys on Miami's offense. It's like, look, he's the guy that everybody's afraid of. He's the guy that makes it all work. So it's not just us as a fan base thinking, hey, Miami's very blessed to have De'Aaron King. The guys who play against them do too. But they also credited Rhett Lashley and the up-tempo style that Miami plays and that they adopted with the spread offense. Louisville talked about how that was really the Achilles heel for them in that game. They blew coverages. They just weren't ready at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, the things you and I talk about all the time, and I talk about with other people who follow the Hurricanes, is what really makes them good? What should you be worried about them losing? I think right now, Rhett Lashley and De'Aaron King, right? Manny Diaz is going to have to potentially find replacements for those two things next year.
Well, no, and not only that, the O-line. He's got a ton of experience right on the O-line. He'll lose a bunch of those guys too, right?
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, even with all that experience, a lot of the guys that I talked to on defense didn't think much of Miami's offensive line. They're kind of like, yeah, they're okay, but North Carolina's better. So it's just kind of interesting little story. You can check that one out there. I'm also going to have an essay about what I'm most excited about coming back with college football. And to be honest, they asked me, why don't you write about the turnover chain? Why don't you write about the smoke? I'm like, look, I know that's the cliched Miami thing, right? Like, to me, what I'm most excited about, is just seeing the people that I didn't get to see last year when you go to a game, right? The familiar fans, the security guards, the people in the concession, just the people that make up our little community down here. That's what's most important to me. And I actually talked to a couple of players about it as well. De'Aaron King talked about his bus driver at Miami, how close he is with that guy. Lou Headley, the punter, was like, I can't wait to just see people in that little Canes walk. You know, the players actually enjoy it. They like going and seeing their family members and friends and people who support them all the time before kickoff. So I'll have an essay on that. And there's plenty more. I've done a ton of one-on-one interviews with players. Thank God for NIL, by the way. These agents calling me and inviting me to these autograph signings. I've had an opportunity to talk to so many guys one-on-one that I would have never had the opportunity to do. So I'm going to have some good stories here in the weeks ahead leading up to the season.
Well, you always have good stories. And the other thing is the offensive line. For me, that's the group that could really leave an imprint on this season, on the conference and everybody else. Like you said, hey, we weren't that impressed. But with all the experience they have on that line, if they could go out there and dominate, it would make life so much easier for everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it would really lift that offense to the next level if they go out there and kind of really establish themselves. It would be really nice if that could happen.
Yeah, there's no question. I think, you know, they were such a one-dimensional team last year. They were bad at running the football. They just were. They couldn't consistently run the football against even average teams in the ACC. And you know, I think that's been what Rhett Lashley's been talking about. He wants a workhorse. He wants one guy to really, really emerge. I'll tell you, I got a chance to talk to John Chaney. He's the guy that everybody was telling me was sort of emerging as that number one guy in this offense before he hurt his shoulder, tore his labrum. Look, he had surgery. He detailed to me everything that he kind of went through. So I'm going to have that in a story coming up as well for The Athletic. But, you know, he thinks he's going to be ready to go, you know, for the opener against Alabama. But he still has a ways to go in terms of getting his shoulder back to where it needs to be. So we'll see. That'll be something to monitor. But you're right. Running the football is the most important thing for this offense. They have to take the pressure off De'Aaron King because, you know, they go back and look at it. Virginia Tech, NC State, even the Louisville game. I mean, they had to score a ton of points to beat those teams or have late comebacks led by De'Aaron that he had to make great throws. Be nice to run the football and not have to depend on that to beat these teams. Otherwise, Miami, you know, they don't. If it wasn't for De'Aaron, this would have probably been a 5-6 win team last year.
I'm with you. Yeah, it's scary, man. That's how good King is. All right, Manny, make sure you follow him on Twitter, folks. Manny_Navarro catches work there at The Athletic. Better yet, subscribe. It's a joke. The fee for a year and you get a coverage from sea to shining sea, baby. And plus you get some international soccer in there too. So if you want to keep up with everything, make sure you sign up for The Athletic. Manny, as always, you are a stud, my brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
You got it. That's our Caneswear Miami Hurricanes
report. If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5500. 597 Caneswear, the spot where Inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
There we go. We are back. Hope everything is good out there. Thank you to Manny Navarro. Thank you to Brett and all the great people at Caneswear. Make sure you go visit them. 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Go visit Brett and all the great people out there at Caneswear. A couple of music notes, by the way. If you're a Steely Dan fan, Steely Dan is coming to Miami Beach October 5th through the 9th, four nights at the Fillmore, all right? Four freaking nights at the Fillmore. So if you've never seen Steely Dan, here's your chance to go see, well, not the whole band, but at least you'll get to see the main guy. Which is good, but if you want, and at the Fillmore, that's going to be a pretty good thing. The other note that I have, music-wise, we always like to talk a little bit about history, and on this date, on July 27th, back in 1974, Lynyrd Skynyrd released "Sweet Home Alabama." How about that, 1991 on this day, Bryan Adams. Started a 7-week run at the top of the charts with Everything I Do. Avenged Sevenfold on this date in 2010, released their fifth album, Nightmare. And on this date in 1983, Metallica began their first tour. The trek was called Kill 'Em All, Kill 'Em All for One, and ended on September 3rd. So there you go. That's a little bit of rock history for those of you that like to keep up with the música. All right, we are going to wrap it up here on the show, man. All right, we are done. We're history. We're in the archives. We're going to wrap it up. Tomorrow, Wednesdays, we will start at 9:30 instead of 10, okay? Why? Because at 10 a.m., we've got Inside the Paint. So Clay and Ira will be bringing it for one entire hour. So make sure you listen to Hardcore Basketball Talk. Of course, we'll podcast it and slice it up for you after. So if you can't hear it or watch it live, you can then catch it later. But on behalf of Ira Winderman and Manny Navarro today for joining us, everybody out there also for tuning in, thank you all. Remember, you can support us through Cash App and Venmo, Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Twitter, Big O Show. Email, Big O Radio Show at yahoo.com. And also on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you smash the like button if you're listening to the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button. We thank you all out there. I appreciate you. Thank you. We will see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, same bat channel. Have a great one.
Starting in August, longtime Miami Heat insider Ira Winderman joins the Big O Radio Show. Ira will give insight twice a week on your favorite NBA team. Heat fans, get the information you crave from one of the best in the business. From weekly appearances to breaking news, join Ira Winderman exclusively on the Big O Show. Found on most platforms.